Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday here in the San Francisco Bay. Dan, the Produce Man, here with you, and today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Sunrays Snack with Impact. Yes, folks, like I said, it's a lovely spring day here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And folks, we have a real treat for you today, at least it's a treat for me. As many regular listeners to this podcast know, that I did a radio show on the Talk America Radio Network, for about 7 years, but many years ago. It was called The Produce Pair, P-A-I-R. And the produce pair was Dan the Produce Man and Guido the Gardener. And it went all over the country, and we had a lot of fun. People would call in, and we'd give out prizes and talk about produce. We were probably the only produce show on the radio at the time that was nationwide. Anyway, today, joining me here in the Fresh from the Field Friday studio is the other half of the produce pair, Guido the Gardener.
Whoopee! Holy tomatoes, Dan. Who lit a fire under your keister?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, which, by the way, thank you very much for having me today. This is a real, real treat that brings back memories.
Yeah.
One memory it brings back. We've got our first caller today, Jane from Minden, Nevada.
She was a regular. Yes, she was.
Jane from Minden, Nevada. I look for houses after that. in Minden, Nevada. Minden,
did you really?
Nevada and Gardnerville, which is right. Yeah, so yeah, a ton of fun. But it's a ton of fun when I'm chewing the fat about fresh fruits and vegetables. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Do you remember that one guy that called us? I can't remember where he was from, but he was talking about how he saw a tomato tree.
Oh,
do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
But he's kind of slurring his words a little bit, too.
He could have been under the influence. Yeah, there were some classics, and there was one. Sorry, folks, for the reminiscing here, but hopefully it's entertaining anyway. But there was, I still remember, there was one, because we used to do, and I'm sure Dan's probably yacked a little bit about it, but we were at his shop, his produce store, right here, you know, 10 blocks from here. Right now we're in the city of Alameda. Wherever you're listening, welcome. But we were just at a table just like this, right. Couple microphones.
Oh, doing a live remote.
Doing a live remote. And there's people with the shopping carts, and there's, you know, and it was a small place. It had a little parking lot, and it was a busy corner because it's right downtown Alameda. And we'd have to concentrate on who was calling and what we were saying, and not getting run over by a Ford Escalade or something.
Right.
You know? But old ladies would call. Remember, there was one I still remember. It was hysterical. And she wanted to know how to cut a rutabaga. And now, and I know, because my lovely bride has bad wrists, it's hard for her to handle knives, you know, safely. And, you know, hopefully we all know what a rutabaga looks like, and they can be huge and unstable. And I think, what did we tell her? I think we told her you slice off just part of it to make it flat and you put it down or something. But it was hysterical. We'd get the darndest call.
I thought you were going to tell about the time where we were at that table out in front of the store and a car pulled into the parking lot and hit the table.
Oh, hit the table. Yeah.
I mean, not, you know, didn't come crashing into us because we're obviously both still here in one piece. But she did hit the table and everything started moving around, and it was a little bit of an eye opener. We definitely moved the table back further for future broadcasts after that. Now, the Produce Pair was a lot of fun. We met a lot of good people in the industry. Some of them are dead. Some of them are still going strong. And we just had a blast.
We were just looking at some books for the younger listeners out there. Books. They've got you've got like maybe like a cardboard top and a cardboard bottom, and there's paper in between with printed words. Those are books, just in case.
And you don't use a mouse.
Yeah, but anyway. And books that we would have the authors on, or we'd use them for reference material or something.
Absolutely.
Cookbooks and fresh produce books. And is that my former wife's attorney trying to get a hold of me?
I'll put the phone on the other table for
you. Yeah, I've changed my name and I've moved two states away. So,
all right, produce folks, we're going to get into produce because it's spring. And there's all kinds of goodies out there.
I mean,
we have snap peas, we have rhubarb, we have
spring onions, spring garlic.
Yeah.
Green garlic. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, strawberries, cherries have started.
You know, you mentioned cherries, because not that anybody, I lived in the Isle of Style here in Alameda my entire life, right? 67 years. And I moved two states away. And just a few days ago, we drove from Utah, down into Vegas and then kind of west and north on I-5. Kind of a game that my lovely bride, Gwen, and I play. She goes, "What's growing out there?"
Yeah.
You know? Now, I kind of cheat a little bit because geographically, certain areas of, the country grow certain things, And, those are almonds because they're almonds. Those are walnuts, or whatever they were. But we're driving up and I'm going, are they growing cherries this far south? Because California cherries, give or take, used to be only pretty much around Stockton, right?
Right. Well, yeah, but now further south.
Oh, now because bless them, there's money in cherries. Luckily, there's money in some of this stuff, for Pete's sakes. Everybody wants to pay 99 cents for everything a pound, right? But anyway, so I'm driving up and I'm going, is this too far south for cherries? Because I was looking at the tree, couldn't quite identify them. But the cherry story is a great story in that they've developed varieties that will produce cherries earlier in the season and further south. So, you get a bigger window for California cherries before the Northwest just steamrolls everybody.
Right. It extends the season very nicely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it gives the retailers something different to put on the stand, because, it's been citrus and pears and apples.
Yeah.
We have Fresno blueberries right now, which are just amazing. You go into the Monterey Market up there in Berkeley, and they have a big mound of them with a couple of scoops, and you can just scoop them into the bag.
Yeah.
$10 a pound, but boy, are they good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of that right now.
One thing, or at least around here, is Brentwood corn. Brentwood corn. Oh, everybody's dying for Brentwood corn. Why? Because, we'd get Florida corn sometimes here on the West Coast, but by the time it got here, kind of dry. And then there's Mexican corn.
Sure.
Which, it was okay.
Yeah.
But I can remember when I was still banging around in the produce business every single day, is when's the Brentwood corn coming?
We start with the Coachella stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And they have the Diamonds label. They want to extend that. You get a label like Diamonds.
Right.
Okay. Brentwood Diamonds, which is the diamond of corn. Yes. Mm. And it's kind of like the song Hey Orange label. It's, you only got it around Chinese New Year's time from a specific company. Then another company buys them out. I think it was the California Fruit Depot. And now that label's available all year long. So the orange isn't as special as it used to be.
Right.
The Diamonds label is the same thing. Now they're growing, in Coachella Valley packing under the Diamonds label there to extend the season. So to me, sometimes the brand is fine, but it dilutes what it originally was.
Right.
From a specific area, a specific thing, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Branding.
Yes.
Branding. Yeah.
Right. Which is what this program is supposed to be all about, is branding. So, but today we're reminiscing and we're talking fresh spring produce here with Guido the Gardener.
Yeah. You know, we were talking spring and spring garlic, because the story, folks, is I moved a year and a half ago to southern Utah, and we get a ton of stuff there. I mean, we get regular, we've got two big grocers, and we have there's a Walmart there. And to tell you the truth, I never really spent much time in Walmart. I never had any pluses or minuses about Walmart as Walmart. I love this one because a buddy of mine hates Walmart. All right. And this one here is, and I'm not sure if it's true, but it sounds true. Okay. 90% of the folks that shop at Walmart like Walmart.
Okay.
90% of the folks that have never been in Walmart hate Walmart.
Ah, okay.
They, you know,
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But because here we have all these local
because
stores.
You got all sorts of stuff. Because, yes. But let me tell you something. All right. I come from a smaller town, and we get a lot of stuff in our regular grocery store. It's a Smith's, which basically is a Kroger. It's a big operation. Then there's Lynn's, three or four blocks away, which is another full-size store. And then during spring and summer, there's some farmers markets. But let me tell you, the Walmart at the south end of town has a ton of fresh fruits and vegetables. They're loaded. And the organic section is pretty vast. So I'm in there going, now I know why folks that are give or take kind of isolated, or they were in smaller plant, why 90% of them like Walmart, because they get in one stop, they get all the stuff that you currently get, that I used to get, you know, here in three or four different shops and little specialty stuff. They get it all in one place. So I can see it.
They're they have been very aggressive with their produce program. They're not fooling around.
Oh, so, yeah. No. There's a lot of variety. And, you know, you stock, you talk, there's an old saying in produce. There's a lot of old sayings. And especially coming from two old sayers. But, you know, stack it high, watch it fly.
Sure.
And, you know, their display, you know, Roma tomatoes, avocados, garlic, and, they, you know, for like your salsa stuff, they stack it high.
Do they really? Okay.
They stack it high and watch it fly. Now, the wet rack and whatnot's all nice and organized and all that. But there's certain bins that they've got that are full of mangoes. They're tropicals, they'll load up. They're pineapples, they'll load up. It's, I don't know. Well, one, it's like 4.5 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But there, you know, there's options. But I am looking forward to summer because we do get a lot of farmers markets type stuff.
Sure. And you have really good apples there in Utah. As far as Walmart goes, I never go. I don't go because, one, I don't like big giant stores. I just, especially here in the Bay Area, they get to be kind of a little gross, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll go to the grocery outlet, not because of what they have.
Yeah.
They're pretty consistent with specific items. And when I need certain staples that I know they always have, I'll go there because it's a small store and I can get in and get out. And if I forget something on aisle 2, I don't have to thumb a ride to aisle 37. Yeah. So, you know, that's, but also again, here in the Bay Area, you know,
you
we
got
have my old store, you got Monterey Market, Berkeley Bowl, Farmer Joe's, a bunch of independent grocers, and a lot of farmers markets. There's one every day in this area. Yeah. So that's the reason why I don't go there, but I understand people in outlying areas.
Yeah. The folks that, because I had breakfast yesterday with a bunch of my old goofball friends, right? And one is a very anti-Walmart guy. Because I was saying, I'm going to Sonora this weekend, right? And leaving tomorrow. And the only I didn't say a word. I know better. I've known this guy 50 years, right? I know better. And he pipes up. Oh yeah, Sonora. That's where they opened a Walmart and drove everybody else out of business for, you know, curmudgeon stuff. And me, I just say nothing because there's a flip side of it. Okay. And one thing, well, you mentioned Grocery Outlet.
Yes.
All right. So Grocery Outlet is here in town. We've got 80,000 folks or whatever. And you mentioned it's a small store. And it is a relatively small store.
Yeah, it was an old Safeway store.
Well, that's the thing. Right. See, my point is that used to be a go-to regular Safeway shopping, grocery store.
The old shape of the curved roof and the whole bit, yes.
Yeah.
And I remember it well.
Yeah, and now we've got three Safeways in Alameda, and these stores are mega stores where you do have to take a cab from aisle 2 to aisle 12 because they're massive.
Yeah, they are. And it's to me, it's ridiculous. I want to go get food. But then again, you know, I prefer to go to, you know, when I want certain foods. Yeah, certain things, yeah, you go to the grocery store for. But we have, you know, Market Hall where you have specialty olive oils, specialty cheeses. And we have one here in town too, the Natural Grocery Store. So that's my preference. And it has nothing to do with the size of the business and, you know, if they're a major corporation or not. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what I prefer to purchase in the offerings that I have. I mean, that these other smaller places have that these standardized, homogenized stores don't have.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There's something for everybody. What we want you to do, Guido and I, we've always agreed on this, is no matter where you can get it, get more fruit and vegetables into your body.
Absolutely. I just turned 69 month couple ago. Okay.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Really? You look 42.
Yeah.
Not really.
Folks, he's lying. Yeah. If you could look through the radio, he's lying, you know. And by the way, the two of us here, we don't have one hair of hair on our head, but
so
69, you know, and health and la-di-da. And I've always been fairly healthy. I have always maintained a high level of caffeine and through my coffee and nicotine through very good cigars. So strong coffee. I tell people all the time, they get a blank look. I said, you know what? Strong coffee and stronger cigars. That's the secret to my longevity. And they
folks, he eats a lot of greens.
Oh, heavens.
A lot of vegetables. I mean, he's constantly cooking this
stuff.
Well,
that's a difference. All right, look. And another thing, look, I haven't had a drink in a long time. I don't smoke cigarettes. I never took drugs. I was just never there. I don't drive fast, and I have one wife. All right? So if you do those like four or five really big basic things, it's going to take a while for, you know, a cup of coffee or a couple good cigars to kill you. I mean, really.
Absolutely. More than one wife will definitely do it.
That's why I include that. More than one wife and driving too fast, you know, punch your ticket.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and come back with something that Guido and I have both done. Guido way better at it than myself, but we both have done it many, many years, pre-internet days. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit about that and some maybe a few other spring veggies when we get back. Don't go away.
In the morning, I always pour a cup of coffee and grab a banana. Before Equifruit, I never thought twice about how my banana was farmed. And now that I'm a banana badass, I care about fair trade, which ensures fair pay, gender equity, and safe working conditions. This is why Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's Hardin, and it's Buck Naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this Buck Naked Onion.
I love grapes.
Whoa, what's this?
Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, Sun Rays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sun Rays grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
Folks, we're back, having a blast here. Dan the Produce Man along here with my favorite produce pal,
Guido the Gardener. Whoopee!
Yes, that's right. So Guido wrote an article for a newspaper group here in the Bay Area for several years called Produce Profile. And one day we were doing a live remote for our radio show and a competing newspaper came up to him and said, "Hey, will you write for us or a magazine or
something?" It was the it was the other local hometown paper that I won't name.
Right, right.
I won't name either one of them.
No, right. I think one of them's defunct and the other one is almost defunct. But and Guido said, "I don't want to do that. You know, I'm established where I'm at. I'm, you know, Dan, you do it." Yeah. And you know, I think the person looked at me or something, and it's like, oh, what am I going to do? Say no? I'm not a writer. Never was a writer. So, but I wrote some. But what we both did, and it's very different from what bloggers and columnists are doing today, because we actually worked for the information for our articles.
You better believe it. No, it's funny, because before you turned on the little computer machine here that's recording all this, we were chewing the fat. You got books and things. Books, again, remember, young folks. And this is what I wrote my first column in 1992. I was barely in the industry, barely in the business, barely. I really didn't have any business doing what I was doing, but, you know, I had
you
a gift.
You developed it really well, though.
I had a gift of gab, and it translated into the written word. So what I would have to do is and this is before the internet, this is before everybody with a cell phone could be an expert by going to Google. I still have a lot of
there was no Google.
There was no Google, yeah. And like I told you, when I moved a year and a half ago, I had stacks of this original material. Because what I used to do is I used to either write requesting information or I would call like boards and commissions.
Yes.
The artichoke board, the summer fruit board, and on and on and on. And they'd send me stuff that was, basically it was a media kit. They don't have,
sure,
there's no paper anymore. That's why, folks, if anybody's out there looking for like tool storage or any kind of storage, you can get file cabinets basically for free.
Yeah, really. Because they're on the street corners around here.
Because nobody stores paper anymore. Okay, but that's an aside. But I used to get all of this kind of stuff from here, there, everywhere, compile it, and from that and from some books, you know, some cookbooks or something here and there, I would take all sorts of different sources, put them together in my bald brain, which wasn't bald at the time.
Right.
And
I remember
God,
that.
This is a long time ago. And, you know, come up with, I don't know what it was, 400 words, 500 words, and kind of fun, informative, but kind of fun. And it was, I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, it was a pretty valuable resource. And people around here read this stuff because they didn't have access to instant information.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And not only that, is we would also, besides calling the boards and commissions, who were always very willing to talk to us on the phone and give us information, we talked to authors, cookbook authors. I remember calling Zager Genetics, and Floyd Zager's daughter got on the phone with me and talked to me for about an hour, and I was able to write an article out of it. So we did our research, again, through books, through boards and commissions, through growers, through just folks in the industry, but it was all hands-on. You didn't just go on the internet, find some information, or copy someone else. Like I say to Guido, I've seen our stuff copied in other articles on the internet. So, you know, so it was real work, real investigative reporting, I would say. And still have a lot of those books. I have a whole bunch right here behind Guido, and he's got a whole bunch in his attic.
I've got a bunch. And you know what? Because when I moved, I just kept it all. I didn't want to just, you know what, you donate it to Goodwill or something, they're not going to keep it. And so I kept it all. And going through like I mentioned before, summer fruit. See, varieties of things, you know, 25, 30 years ago, or altogether different than what they are now.
Sure, there were no sub-acid varieties of yellow fruit. No. I mean,
so I've got pictures, and I've got little write-ups and of fruit that you're just not going to find anywhere.
Do you remember we were at 111 Vallejo Street in San Francisco in 111 Studios downstairs? In the basement, this big, beautiful radio studios down there. And we had Marty Mazzante on as our guest. And he was on a few times. And he was involved in Dulcinea when they first started. And he brought to us something that wasn't even on the market yet. And we marveled at, because we'd never seen anything. And that was a small watermelon that you could fit in one hand. That didn't exist, and we were blown away by seeing that. Remember that?
And you know, another one I remember? It was, it'll come to me, but I forgot it. I forgot his name. Was he out of Florida? He was a produce, like, radio TV guy. Oh, son of a gun. I can't remember his name. But he introduced to us grape tomatoes. I can kind of picture his face, but I can't remember his name. But he was a big shot back then. And he was talking all about, now it's going to bother me. Now it's going to bother me.
But, well, you'll have to text me when you remember, and we'll put it in next week's
podcast. Yeah, it could
be
in the middle of the night. grape tomatoes, because they were non-existent at that point.
Sure.
And now, you know, that's all that's kind of out there. There's some little cherry tomatoes or sweet 100s or something, but they're all one or another variety of Tony Marola.
Oh, Chef Tony. He's still around. He's still with us.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Chef Tony Marola. That's right.
It just came to me.
Okay.
Floridian
flavors. That's right.
There you go.
That's right. Tony Marola. Yeah, we used to have Mr. Food. Frida Kaplan came on with us.
Yeah. Paul, we did that. Remember we did that thing with Paul Prudhomme?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
And he called your mom?
Yes. Well, I don't know, folks. If you don't know who Paul Prudhomme was, he was a very famous Cajun chef. About 300 pounds in a rolling chair, and then all of a sudden he just got down like 110 pounds. It was really a trip, but his signature was his hat. Cajun chef from down south, wrote a lot of books and had his own product line and recipes. And
a big shot.
Yeah, we did a show with him. It was actually recorded at the South San Francisco Wholesale Produce Market at Bay Area Herb Company. And it was a big deal. It was for Safeway. They were promoting this buttercup squash. And Paul Prudhomme starts singing this song in French. And I'm going, whoa, man, my mother used to sing that song. He goes, where is she? Is she around? I said, yeah. Call her. I call her on the phone. And I tell, hey, Mom. You know, she was in her 70s at the time. Paul Prudhomme wants to talk to you. What? Paul Prudhomme? Is he the chef? I say, yeah, he wants to talk to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here, Mom. And they start going back and forth in French for a few minutes. She was so delighted. It was so cool. I mean, that's just a real cool spirit right there.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Just, it was like just impromptu, drop of the hat. Like
yeah.
Thing.
It was yeah. Really
we were in the middle of something else all entirely. And then, oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah. That doing that show, a lot of different things happened over the years. We did a lot of live remotes from a lot of places, a lot of festivals, Asparagus Festival.
Oh, we did that Asparagus Festival, yeah.
The Peach Festival in San Francisco at the building there with Roger Helwig from Oh So Sweet Onions.
Oh,
remember him?
Gosh, yes.
I don't know if we ever did the Garlic Festival.
That
was too big.
Too big, too far, too hot, too dusty.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we did a lot. Anyway, so kind of just reminiscing here today on this program. It's spring.
Yeah.
Just throw out a spring item that you're...
What else do we want to... I want to eat a real tender, red, strawberry-flavored strawberry.
Oh, okay.
See, here's the deal. All right. There's two items that I got in Italian called... A babolu is like a kind of like a resentment or something. A babolu, and two things. One,
I thought it was pizza bread, but hey,
yeah, no. Well, one are strawberries that don't really, really taste like strawberries, and the other one, frankly, we mentioned before, pineapples.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
You know,
no, they don't have the flavor they used to have. No,
yeah, they don't. They don't. But especially in strawberries, because it's spring, you know, the Easter Bunny and, you know, Jesus Christ has risen today and everything's new and fresh. And
Mother's Day.
And it's hard to find a tender strawberry anymore. That's, I don't know.
Well, everybody's growing these Albions. And then there's, what's the another one? A Monterey, I think it's called. But... when Sea Level Farms starts, you can harvest those, and you can get those from my good buddy Chewy, who bought my store. I'm telling, those are the strawberries to me that have the flavor, where you bite it and it's red inside, and it tastes like a strawberry.
Yeah.
And Corralitos, it's just a specific growing area, and you got all these little microclimates down there in along the coast, and then inland a little bit, where something just grows perfectly. And the Sea Level Farm strawberry is one of them.
And wherever you are, folks, you know, if there's somebody growing something fairly close to you, go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go check it out. Because, you know, stacks and stacks and stacks and cases and cases and cases of all these plastic containers full of this and that and this and that. And it's swell. And it encourages, like our point from the jump, is we just want folks to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables. That's all. If they come in a plastic container and they're stacked 25 high, fine. But if you've got access in the spring and summer to some local stuff, they're peas, they're berries, whatever they are.
Yeah.
They're local apricots or something. That's another one.
Yeah.
If you've got access to them, open your wallet and partake.
Absolutely. Darn good advice. All right, folks. Well, Guido, it's been... I was going to swear from it.
we can do that if you hit the cough button.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a cough button hooked up here. But anyway, it's great to have you with me here doing this, you know, again. This is great.
No, thanks again for having me.
Folks, we are the produce pair, the original produce pair right here. So anyway, all right, folks, be sure to check out the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. You got to have that. Download that now on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your watch. on your refrigerator, wherever you can download an app to get that Produce Industry app. And don't forget to check out the Global Fresh Series with Juanita Gallo. That's someone that Guido introduced me to many, many years ago.
That was long. You and I both had hair.
That's true.
That's right. That's how long ago that was, folks.
In the History of Produce Series with John Papp. And don't forget to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at DanTheProduceMan.com. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh. And let's get the famous Guido the Gardener sign off as well.
And I'm Guido the Gardener, and I'm going to tell you what my Nonna Bessie always told me. Manja!
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan, the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan, the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.